Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing WatsonX Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with WatsonX Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Welcome to Creature Feature, production of iHeartRadio. I'm your host of Mini Parasites, Katie Golden. I studied psychology and evolutionary biology, and today on the show, we are doing another listener question episode. But first, I have an announcement. So I am actually undergoing a big move to a new place physically in the world, which means I have to take a few weeks off so I can get all my stuff in a big old bundle and a big old backpack and start trekking my way all the way across the country. So that means I will need a few weeks off to do everything, but do not worry. I will be back. I am still going to do the podcast, and in fact, I will be back for a new season. Now that I'm recording this, I don't remember what season we are. I think it's season three. So, season three is coming up. It is going to premiere on September 8th, but before you panic, thinking, what the heck? What am I going to do with our Creature Feature between now and September 8th? Well, don't you worry. I'm going to have, during this time, some listener question episodes, just like this one. I'm also going to have some old episodes that I am going to dig up from the way back of the pod closet. These old tapes, old dusty old tapes, you know, wipe the dust off of them. Gonna re-upload them, do some little fix-ups, little edits here and there with little intros. And yeah, so just some of my favorite episodes that I've done over the years that I'm going to revitalize, do a little spit shine on so you can listen to them. So I will still be putting out episodes every week until we're back. I really appreciate everybody for listening to the podcast all this time. And I am so excited for season three. I've got big plans, just big elephant-sized plans. It's not like an actual elephant. I'm not going to have an elephant on the show. I really looked into that option, though. I gave it serious thought, but unfortunately, it's hard to get a mic stand to the level of an elephant. And getting all the levels right, it's really hard. If you do any audio editing, you know how hard it is to do a podcast with an elephant. It's very difficult, but other than that, I have some good plans, some fun new segments I think I'm going to do on the show. So I'm very excited, and I cannot wait to come back for season three. And in the meantime, please enjoy the listener question episodes and my old episodes, because they are some of my favorites. I think you'll really like them. So let's get right into the listener questions, you guys. So this week for listener questions, I thought I would focus on a theme, and that theme is pets. We love our pets, but not just the kitties and the doggies. We love all pets. And here's the first question. It is from James on Twitter, who wrote to me, "What's up with the cutest animal, hermit crabs?" So I had a hermit crab as a pet when I was a kid, and I gotta say, not the best pet. I loved it. I really did love it, but its favorite thing to do was crawl inside my armpit, pinch my skin, and not let go until I literally had to use tweezers to delicately pry its claws open so it would release me, which, you know, I don't think was fun for either me or the hermit crab, to be honest. But I didn't, maybe it was trying to see if my armpit could be its new home. It was hoping, maybe. I don't know. Also, if you have a hermit crab as a pet, it actually requires a lot of care to keep it healthy and alive. You need to provide new, bigger shells for it as it grows. It needs moisture. It needs food. It needs space. If you're ever looking into getting a pet, even one as simple as a hermit crab, definitely do a lot of research beforehand so you know you have the right environment and the right resources for it, because they are delicate creatures. Despite their hard-looking exterior, they're actually quite soft on the inside, as you will find as we discuss. So hermit crabs are a family of very interesting crustaceans that famously do not grow their own shells. Instead of investing in armor they grow themselves, like most of their decapod cousins like crabs and lobsters, hermit crabs don't armor their abdomens and instead rely on the protection of abandoned shells from dead mollusks. So why invest your own resources into something you can scavenge? This is the strategy of the hermit crab. Its claws and forelimbs have a hard exoskeleton, but its abdomen is soft and curls inwards to one side. Kind of looks like a little macaroni noodle attached to this hermit crab. It can be quite surprising to see the actual body of a hermit crab if you've never seen that. So this curled shape allows it to anchor itself into an abandoned spiraling shell. Hermit crabs are both land-dwelling and marine-dwelling. There are some hermit crabs that have specially adapted for the land and some who mostly spend their time in the ocean. So land-dwelling hermit crabs can breathe as long as their gills are kept moist, whereas primarily marine-dwelling hermit crabs, they can breathe for a limited amount of time if their gills are moist, but mostly they do need the water. So as hermit crabs grow, they must find new, bigger shells. So normally, if you have another decapod, another crustacean, they have that hard exoskeleton that they will grow out of. So what they do is they crack that old exoskeleton, they shed it, they hide while they grow their new exoskeleton. Hermit crabs, instead of doing that, they exit their old shell that they scavenged from some other mollusk, and then they find a new shell that some dead mollusk left behind. And they use that as their new upgraded home as they grow. Often, they use the shells of sea snails, but other shells will do as well. Some hermit crab species will even use chunks of dead wood or immobile structures such as abandoned coral. Hermit crabs will often compete with other hermit crabs over ideal shells, but sometimes there is a fair amount of cooperation that is truly incredible to see. So if a hermit crab finds a shell that is a bit too large, it will actually hold on to that shell and return to its original cramped shell. And then it waits for a hermit crab to approach the large shell. If it fits this newcomer, that means that the first hermit crab can have the larger crab's old home, which is probably going to be the perfect size for this hermit crab. Imagine you go to the store and you're buying a pair of jeans and you find a pair of jeans that's just one size too big for you. But you hold on to them and someone comes up to you who's a little bigger than you and they've got some old jeans that they've grown out of that would probably fit you perfectly. And you're like, hey, what about these jeans that are a little bit too big for me? And so you swap jeans. Now you have a pair of jeans that fits perfectly, but also you live in the jeans and you never leave the jeans until you get bigger, which now that I'm talking about has kind of been my lifestyle lately, but anyways. So what this results in is a conga line of hermit crabs who are exchanging shells with each other. So it's this chain of hermit crabs trading homes, one size up. So it's like, all right, I've got a shell. It's too small for me. I found a shell. It's too big for me. You're big enough for this new shell. You take off your old shell. I take that. I don't need my old smaller shell. And then a smaller hermit crab is going to see that and say like, oh, well, I can take this even smaller shell and shed my shell. And then a smaller hermit crab is like, oh, okay, but now I can get this shell. So lines of hermit crabs, trading houses, the next HGTV reality show, swapping hermit shell houses coming to a TV in some kind of ocean near you.
If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code, a lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM, let's create.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Here is another email about pets. Hello, Katie. First of all, I love your show so much. I'm excited for the week's topic. Thank you. I've always loved animals in science classes so much that a lot of my time was spent researching random animals of my own. I actually have a question for you or the pod. I have a cockatiel named Cora, and she is just full of radiant personality, like hissing at me for looking in her direction and adoring my mom. I was wondering if she may actually experience spite and keep track of people's actions. Parrots, similar to corvids, thrive in group living and can communicate a lot to each other and seem to experience a wide array of emotions. So I think she may be experiencing more than the simple observed risk aversions. Thank you so much for your amazing and hilarious content on Creature Feature. You really make my week all the time. Aw, thank you so much. And this is from Anthony, and Anthony sent me a bird tax, who he reassured me that Cora is a vet certified to be a beefy lady. She is larger relative to other cockatiels and with muscle and a tiny bit of stomach pudge, but she's healthy and beautiful. Thank you for this picture of the cute chunk of feathers. That is Cora. Amazing, beautiful, glorious, radiant. So you are correct. Cockatiels and other parrots are highly social and extremely intelligent. In fact, this means that, as you probably know, Anthony, having one as a pet is a massive commitment. They require constant social attention and affection and experience very complex social emotions. So in terms of your question, is it experiencing spite? Does it have these sort of more sophisticated emotions? I would say that's very likely. Studies have demonstrated that cockatiels have a deep understanding of complex cognitive concepts such as object permanence. Object permanence is something that humans have to learn as young babies. We go through a period of time where we have to learn about object permanence as we grow into toddlerhood. So the fact that cockatiels have this sense of object permanence is very promising for their intelligence. Cockatiels do hiss, as you mentioned, and typically hissing is to express annoyance, although there is an exception. Male cockatiels will sometimes hiss as part of their courtship rituals. So if it looks at you and hisses, it's definitely giving you some attitude. So cockatiels in the wild demonstrate complex social behaviors. They are endemic to Australia, meaning that's the only place that they are found in the wild. They're one of the smaller members of the cockatoo family. They have a yellow face and a crest and rosy red cheeks and a gray body plumage. They are highly social. They live at least in pairs, if not in large flocks. Sometimes up to 100 cockatiels can flock together. They use their crests as a way to signal their emotions. Perked up crests, that the crest is that little feathery whoop on top of their head, if you know what I'm talking about. The little doodle bopper right on top of their head. It's adorable. Perked up crests can indicate excitement, while flattened crests can indicate anger or defensiveness. But there are less obvious angles of the crest, such as nearly flat, but kind of sticking out in the back, which males sometimes do to appear attractive to females, like they're doing slick back hair or something. Sometimes they have the crest at like a 45 degree angle when they're relaxed. It can be hard as a human to always read a cockatiel's crest expressions, but if you can get a handle of it, you will be able to better understand your cockatiel. If you're thinking about adopting a cockatiel, I would really research them because they can live to be over 25 years old and they need a lot of space to exercise outside the cage and huge amounts of love and attention. I think in some ways, intelligent birds like a cockatiel can be a bigger commitment than a dog. And certainly other parrot species can be a much, much bigger commitment because they live such a long time and they're like, I've said this before, but it's like a two-year-old's brain for some of these birds, like cockatoos and parrots and macaws. It's like putting a two-year-old's brain in a dinosaur's body with a very powerful beak that can break through nuts. So you got to really think about if you want to deal with that responsibility. Cockatiels are a little easier to take care of than something like a cockatoo, but they're still a huge commitment. Like I said, they can live to be over 25 years old, and they need so much social attention. You need to have that time to be able to give them that love and attention. Budgies, or parakeets, as they're called, are less intensive. They still need socialization. They're going to be the happiest if you have them in a group or in pairs, but they don't live as long. They don't need as much space. They live to be about 5 to 8 years old. So if you really love birds, but you don't think you have the time commitment for a cockatiel, I would advise getting something like a finch or you know. But if you really want that social interaction with a bird, but you're maybe kind of a little concerned about having the commitment of something like a cockatiel, parakeets are highly social, but they aren't quite as, they don't live as long as they don't need as much as a cockatiel does, but they still need attention, and they really do like to be in pairs. They really enjoy each other's company. Large cockatoos, such as the sulfur-crested cockatoo, can be a huge responsibility. It's like having a screaming dinosaur with a toddler brain, and they can live to be over 60 years old. So if you're interested in owning a bird, really do a lot of research and think about whether your lifestyle will work with the needs of these little flying literal dinosaurs. But yeah, if you have the resources, time, and emotional capacity to take care of a cockatiel, they can be extremely affectionate, very rewarding, and form a very intense bond with you. It is absolutely ride or die with birds. I am a huge lover with birds, but I know my limitations. I don't think I could ever own a bird more complicated than a finch, with my current lifestyle, even though I have a dog and she requires a lot of attention, but that's part of it. God, this would be such a jealous household if I had to manage the emotional needs of my dog and of a bird. Oh, the drama. Well, I'm avoiding that.
If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code. A lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM. Let's create.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products.
offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule. You'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Time to talk about cats. It's cats times. Sometimes I feel like I don't talk about cats enough. I love cats. I'm currently a dog owner. I want to get a cat because my dog seems to accept the presence of cats. She actually likes cats a lot more than she likes other dogs. So, big cat lover. Grew up with cats, so I'm delighted to answer this email about cats. Hi, Katie. I've been meaning to write for ages to tell you how much I enjoy your podcast. Aw, thank you. It was especially helpful during the pandemic. I'm so glad. I'm really happy to hear that. Here are a few photos of my current kitties, Pangea and Fezzik. Wonderful names. Pangea, my 8-year-old female, is the smaller, dilute tortoiseshell one, and Fezzik, 7-year-old male, is the larger, buff-colored cat. I've seen these cats. I can confirm to you, the listener, they are adorable. So, I have a couple of cat-related questions. When Pangea plays, she often likes turning her head so she's looking at me upside down. Any idea why that's a good angle? She also makes little noises during the day, not meowing, except when she wants my attention, but little grunts and other small noises, kind of like she's muttering to herself. I have a friend who has a cat who makes similar noises, but until these two, I hadn't run into cats who made noises like that. Do you know if there might be any meaning behind it? Thanks again for your podcast, Erica. Thank you so much, Erica, not only for your kind words, but your beautiful pictures of your wonderful little kitty cats and for your cool question. I love kitties. Like I said, I had cats growing up. I'm probably riddled with toxoplasmosis. That's probably why I love cats so much. But anyways, as someone who loves both dogs and cats, I really enjoy noting the difference between these two animals. Dogs co-evolved with us in a way that makes it almost intuitive for us to communicate a dog's body expressions, I think, are pretty easily read by a human. And dogs have undergone these immense changes from when they're wolves. But cats, they basically figured, I'm already perfect. I don't need to change for you humans. Like, I'm going to stay as cat as I can be. So once we started having agrarian societies, cats noticed all the rodent problems we had with our grain. Like, I notice you got a mouse problem. I can take care of that. Maybe for a little dish of milk. You know, just asking for a little bit off the top of your milk and I can take care of your mouse problem. No problem. And that's how we formed this mutually beneficial relationship with these cute little murder beasts. So they were good for our grain supplies, probably good at preventing the spread of disease by killing rats and mice. And we formed a business partnership. So that's why house cat behavior is not all that different from the behaviors of wild felines. They really didn't have to evolve much to be accepted into human society. Their kind of lifestyle worked with ours. Whereas with wolves are much more aggressive. Their kind of lifestyle as wolves in the wild didn't really gel as well with humans. So wolves had to undergo a domestication in order to fit into our lifestyle. And so that's why their behavior and their appearance is much more different from a wolf than, say, a domesticated cat or a house cat compared to, say, like a wild cat. You may see some species of wild cat, you look at a cat, it's like, well, their coat color is kind of different, but their basic attitudes and behaviors are pretty similar. Now, that's not to say wild cats are just like house cats that you can pick up and love and they'll be perfectly fine. No, but their behavior can be remarkably similar. And that's why some of their quirks are just so strange to us and so hard to understand what they're doing. You may be baffled when a cat rolls over on its back. It exposes its belly. You think, oh, you want a belly rub? You try to rub the belly. Nope, it was a trap. Now you've got an angry cat scratching your eyes out. When dogs roll over onto their backs, we think, oh, okay, it's a belly rub. And they often are asking for belly rubs. But in cat language, it's like cats are speaking Greek and we're speaking some other language than Greek. It's so hard to understand them. When cats roll over onto their back, it may be a signal that, hey, I trust you. It rarely means they actually want belly rubs. Some cats might. You know, cats have very different personalities. Some of them will be real oddballs. Like, I had two cats growing up. One was your very classic, like, grumpy cat. She had an attitude. She had pride. She was graceful, a great hunter. And she would flay mice in front of my eyes. And she would accept pets if I did them in a very respectful way. My other cat couldn't kill a fly. He was a goofus. He was scared of his own shadow. And he would want to, like, sit on my chest with his face in my face every morning. So just very different behaviors from different cats. But generally speaking, a cat rolling on its back means it's comfortable with you and it's showing you its belly because it's saying, like, hey, you know, I'm not afraid you're going to attack my belly and you're not going to, like, get me in these sensitive areas. So it's comfortable. In terms of cats turning their heads upside down, sometimes a friendly cat will turn their head upside down and, like, rub it on the ground because they are leaving a pheromone marking on the things that they feel at home with. But if your cat is just sitting there with its head, like, turned upside down and it's not rubbing anything and it's just looking at you, I don't really know what that means. My best guess is your cat is curious about what you're doing and she's trying to get another angle on you, just trying to get a different view, a different perspective to maybe better figure out, like, what's going on with you. Especially if she's playful, she may be trying to get sort of a new perspective of what you're doing, playing around, having a good time, getting a good view. As for muttering around the house, so this is another thing where it's really remarkable to me. Different cats often make different vocalizations. I had a cat who would chirp at birds, whereas the other one really wouldn't as much. But cats do chatter at birds. The reason they do this is something of a mystery. There's a number of theories. It could be excitement. It could be frustration at not being able to chase the bird. It could be a form of mimicry. There's a cat, a wild cat called the Margay cat, which is, it looks kind of like an ocelot, if you know what that looks like. It's sort of got rounded ears, a spotted pelt. It's a smaller wild cat, but it weighs up to about 8 pounds or 4 kilograms. And it lives in Central America, Brazil, Paraguay, in sort of tropical forests. And it mimics the sound of a crying baby monkey. So they actually love to eat monkeys, small mammals. And so they will mimic this cry of a pied tamarin baby. So a pied tamarin is a very little monkey, very cute. But for the margay, it's a wonderful meal. So they will pretend to be this sound like this little crying monkey. And then that seems to cause other monkeys to go out to investigate. And oops, it was a trap. It's actually pretty insidious when you think about it. This cat is pretending to be a crying baby. And then when the monkeys go and investigate because they want to help, they get eaten, quite devilish. But in terms of house cats, we don't know if they chirp to try to attract birds. That's not anything proven. But we do see in the wild that there is an example of a wild cat that does use its vocalization as a form of mimicry. So that is potentially possible. Another theory is that cats have an instinctive activation of the throat and mouth muscles when they see prey, because that's what they use to, like, bite the prey. So they're making this little, like, chirping, squeaking sound because they want to bite it, which I don't know if that's true, but whatever the case is, it's very cute. In terms of your cat just kind of muttering, not in the presence of birds, just kind of stomping around the house and muttering to itself, there's a variety of meanings for cat grunts. some cats are just more vocal than other cats. They'll just make noises when they move, and it's hard to know exactly what that is. You kind of have to use context for what their little grunts mean. If the cat is content and happy, they're probably just making happy little noises. Just, you know, cats like to make noises when they're happy. Sometimes they do a little meow. Sometimes they purr. Sometimes they can just like make little grunts. So it could be a sign they're just chilling, having a good time. Just almost like whistling to itself or something. If the cat is uncomfortable, she may be voicing annoyance or displeasure. So in order to understand the cat lingo, you've kind of got to take in the cat's body language and general vibe. You got to vibe check your cat all the time. Vibe checking a cat is a complex procedure, multifaceted operation. Best of luck to you vibe checking your cats. But from what I can tell from these photos, these are happy kitties and they're probably making happy little grunts. So thank you guys so much for tuning in to my Pets Listener Questions episode. If you have a question about your pet or about an animal, about a strange creature that's been stalking you in the night, send me your questions at creaturefeaturepod@gmail.com. You can find me on Instagram at creaturefeaturepod. You can also find me on Twitter at creaturefeetpod. That's F-E-A-T, not F-E-E-T. That is something very different. And if you're enjoying the show and you leave a rating and review, I read all the reviews and I appreciate them. I really do. And of course, as always, thanks for the Space Cossacks for their super awesome song, Exolumina. And again, we will be back for season 3. Yeah, I think it's season 3 on September 8th with all new episodes, all new animals, all new terrifying stories about creatures. Yeah. So I can't wait to see you guys again. And that I mean that because I've got all sorts of spies all over the world. You see a bird outside, that's probably me spying on you with my spy birds. So can't wait to see you guys again for season 3. And but again, in the meantime, we've got oldies but goodies that I'm refurbishing, spit shining for you to listen to. So stay tuned for those. Creature Feature is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts like the one you just heard, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or hey, guess what? Wherever you listen to your favorite shows. See you next Wednesday, and see you in September for season 3.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.